All right, so we're going to continue in the book of James, Yaakov. We're coming to the end. We've got another, this message, and I believe either one or two more, I have to check. We're going to pick up in chapter 5, verse 7, and we're going to go through chapter 5, verse 12. So give you guys a chance to find your spot there. All right, hallelujah. James 5, verse 7. Oh, before I even start there, I want to, as we've been going through this, we've been trying to stay with the theme in each section. So the theme of this section, the prevailing message, is patience in suffering. James chapter 5, verse 7. So be patient, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient for it until it receives the early and late rain. Interesting. We're in a season right now of waiting on what's referred to biblically as the latter rain. And in the scripture, we see Adonai, the farmer, he's patiently awaiting the last fruits to finally ripen before he can send his son Yeshua to come back for the final harvest. There are two harvests in the land, the spring crops, which last into the summer, and the fall crops. It's the latter rain that allows for the fall crops, or after the fall crops have... Actually, it's the, hang on one sec. Judy, you can edit this out. I'm going to pause right here. There are two harvests in the land, the spring crops, which last into the summer, and the fall crops. It's the latter rain that allows for the fall crops to grow and produce. And it's also part of this latter rain during the winter, a time of no crops producing fruit, a barren time, but the same rain allows for the seeds that have been sowed and the trees of the land. It brings water to them so that the early harvest of spring into summer can produce. So what am I saying there? Spiritually, we have already gone through this stage in biblical history. We've gone through the early rain. We've gone through Messiah coming to fulfill the spring festivals. But everything we're waiting on is the fall festivals, the latter rain, all connected to that. So again, Adonai the farmer is patiently awaiting for the last fruits to finally ripen before he can send his son Yeshua to come back for the final harvest. And he's called us to do the same. We must be patient in suffering, sometimes long suffering. But there is good news that he's promised. So let's continue with that. And verse 80 says, you, talking to the people, but today speaking to us, you be also be patient. Strengthen your hearts, because the coming of the Lord is near. Hallelujah. You know, that's really good news. Really good news. I mean, I'm ready to go. I'm ready. You know, there are nice things and enjoyable things on the earth, but compared to heaven, your best day you can possibly even imagine or think of with any possible thing you might want to do or be with or have, whatever, that's like a horrible day compared to the quote-unquote worst day, if there is such a thing, that you'll experience in heaven. Praise your Lord. The coming of the Lord is near. The end of the age, the end of the age harvest is near, and the reign of Yeshua HaMashiach is near. So what should be our motivation to continue on patiently, to wait and to serve through these trying times. What did he say just a minute ago? Messiah's coming. Hallelujah. And when he was telling them that, Messiah was thousands of years away. I've heard people say, you know, I'm sick, and the doctors have given me a death sentence. The prognosis is grim. But I'm going to trust the Lord and believe the Lord for healing. And if I go to sleep or if I close my eyes and I die, and I close my eyes in faith, believing, trusting the Lord for everything, and I open my eyes and I'm in heaven, well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But the idea is to stand in faith no matter what, all the days of your life, no matter what's going on. Hallelujah. And remember something. As bad as things are, they can quickly get a whole lot worse. Very quickly. The Apostle Paul, Rabbi Shaul, said, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, I've learned in any state I'm in any condition I'm in, to be content. Hallelujah. You know. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he wrote that from the jail in Patmos. I need to confirm that, but I'm pretty sure that's where he wrote it from. So turn to your neighbor and say, Messiah's coming soon. Messiah's coming soon. You know, when you feel like you just can't do it anymore, remember, Messiah's coming soon. Okay, Lord, what'd you tell me to do? And keep on moving forward. Amen?
Amen.
I want you to turn with me, and I'll give you a second to get there, to the book of 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4. And again, as you're going there, I want to go back to James 5:8. Because he says, I want to remind you what he says. You also be patient, strengthen your hearts, because the coming of the Lord is near. For those of you who are listening, if you're saying that version doesn't sound like my King James or New King James, it's not. That's from the Tree of Life version. If you guys made it there, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. It says here, for the Lord himself shall come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the blast of God's shofar, and the dead Messiah shall rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left behind, or who remain, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. And here we go again, verse 18. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Which words are we supposed to encourage one another with? Messiah is coming. Hallelujah. Praise your Lord. Yeshua is coming for us soon. And we need to continue to watch for him and patiently endure until the end. Amen? Messiah is coming back for us. That's really good news. That's wonderful news. Chapter 5, verse 9. Back in James. Do not grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the doors. It's interesting here that he's talking again through this whole book to believers. He's not talking to people who don't know the Lord. You know, a lot of you guys go to work, and you work with people, they're just as ungodly and unholy and unrighteous, you know. Sometimes you think, you know, your boss is the devil's wife, you know. The devil's younger brother, the devil's right-hand man. And they don't even try, you know how easy it is just to be evil or just be nasty with someone or just to be grouchy or angry. That's just natural. That just naturally occurs. You don't have to try. When you don't know the Lord, I mean, it's even... And then if you have been presented with the Lord and you reject him, I mean, you just really grease your skid to, in that direction. And you go downhill quickly. But Messiah is coming for us, guys. Hallelujah. So don't grumble against one another. The end of that says, behold, the judge is standing at the doors. Look at what he's saying. Quit arguing and fighting. And again, who's he talking to? He's talking to his people. And just to paraphrase what he's saying, quit arguing and fighting. Daddy is standing right at the door listening. It's right there. He's hearing and seeing everything that's going on. As the leader of this congregation, when I'm in contact with other pastors and rabbis, I present our congregation as one who is filled with people who love one another by the grace and the chesed, the grace in Hebrew of Adonai. That's it. You know, that's what we want to be. That's what the blood of Yeshua paid for us to be. Amen? Today in the body of Messiah, we need to come together like never before. We need to focus on our common beliefs, focus around Messiah Yeshua. Some call him Jesus. We need to love one another. Amen? Turn with me really quick. You can save your place there, or you can just listen to this. This is John chapter 13, verse 34. Yeshua says to his people, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, so also you must love one another. It's interesting, he'd been with them this whole time. These are the people of God. Some of them were brothers. Most of them, there's a real good chance they knew each other, or they knew of each other, or they knew each other's families. The Sea of Galilee is not that big. But he has to tell them to love one another. You know, when you tell someone a commandment, not a suggestion, a commandment, he's telling them to love one another, there's a reason for that. He knew some things. Maybe he was seeing some things. Going on to verse 35, he says, look at what he says. By this all will know that you are my disciples, my Talmidim, my followers, the ones who are committed to me, who have given your lives to me, to serve me and to be taught by me. You can add all that in there, is in that. If you have love for one another. So by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. It's interesting, it doesn't say if you keep Torah, which actually, you know, we want to do. We strive because we love the Lord to keep his commands. Hallelujah. That being said, you know, you can keep his commands and be really honorable at it, and then see your brother or sister slip up just a little bit, and look what they're doing. Look at me. Look what they're doing. And you can do that too. And that's a lot of the problem that the Pharisees and Sadducees had, that type of thing. But this all will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. So as believers, we need to have it together and treat one another right so that the world might believe. We're living in a season of time where literally the Lord is waiting for, it's believed, and he's waiting for that last person to be saved in this time before the 7-year tribulation starts. He's waiting for the times of the Gentiles to be fulfilled. We don't know exactly how that works, but that's the basic concept of it. He's given Gentiles time to receive the Lord too, and before he comes back and gives the last 7 years of time to his people, he's waiting for this time to be fulfilled. That makes sense? And so, you know, we don't know. You wonder who, quote unquote, if that's exactly literal, who the last person is that'll be receive him before the tribulation period were to start. Interesting. You know, what if it's somebody who, you know, our building here, it's somebody who just walks up, they see our sign out there, and they come in and they receive the Lord, and then the tribulation starts because they're the last one. I know that sounds kind of ridiculous, but at somewhere, at some point, something along that line has to happen. And you don't know. You don't know when the Lord is going to call your number to be the one who witnesses to somebody. And on that day, you know, you're angry, or you're grouchy, or you're mean, you know. I'm just throwing all this out there, you know. As I'm pointing to you, I've got multiple fingers pointing back at me. Hallelujah. You don't know. It's a huge sign to the world whether or not they want to be part of a congregation or become a believer, how they view the body of Messiah, whether you're in the church, messianic, or otherwise. Who wants to be part of a congregation of fighting? A congregation that lacks unity? No one does. You know, we're endeavoring to have a congregation that we're loving on one another, and a congregation that is unified and moving in the same direction. Hallelujah. And I have this written here. This kept coming up as I was preparing. We are forever, eternally connected. I returned a call this morning that I received during the week from a brother who I really love in the Lord, someone from a former congregation. And I hadn't talked to them since the beginning of the whole COVID situation. And the first thing he said, "How are you doing?" And he went on to say he's moved. He's moved out of the area. And so he asked me for prayer, and he asked me to help him find a new congregation where he is now. And I know a few rabbis in the area, so I'm praying about where exactly I believe he'll fit. And we hadn't talked in months, but that didn't matter. Because why? Because we're supernaturally connected. That's how I view him and you and others, as supernatural. I'll miss seeing him. And I told him, if I don't see you again until heaven, I want to stay connected with you. Distance doesn't change God's love or our connection. Hallelujah. So continuing, we need to fight to take our focus off of the things going on in this world. We need to endeavor to keep our focus on Adonai and his kingdom. And it's a fight against the enemy every day. It's a fight to do so. Every week on Shabbat, we get a reset. We get to refocus, a time to re-equip, to reevaluate, to recommit for the coming week. Amen? We, as part of this community, this Knesset, this body, this assembly, this congregation, this kehilat, whatever you want to call it, we are called to be a supernaturally connected to one another. Not only to Adonai, but to one another. When people begin to see that they are super, when people begin to see that you are supernaturally connected, or see a supernatural connection with people within a congregation, they look at you differently. They look at things differently. when they see us connected, not just in the natural, they see how we interact differently than other people, people want that. Mm-hmm. People want to be part of a place, something bigger than them, bigger than them, a place of peace, a place of rest in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Praise you, Lord. This is the message that James, Jacob, Yaakov was trying to convey to the people of Adonai. We are new creatures in Messiah. Turn with me to another scripture and we're back at James, the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Messiah, keep seeking the things above, where Messiah is sitting at the right hand of Adonai. Focus your mind on things above, not on things of the earth." Why? Because you have died and your life is hidden with Messiah in God. What a concept. What a mystery that you've died, but you still have life hidden in the Lord. That's where your life is. It's in the Lord. As hard as it is sometimes to keep yourself from loving and enjoying the things of this world, even the best of situations only last a certain amount of time. At the end of the day, when it's 2 o'clock in the morning, you wake up and you're troubled by something, guess what? You're not thinking about the fun time you did with whatever, you fill in the blank. You're thinking about, no, my life is hidden in the Lord. My life is in Him. Who are you calling on? Calling on Him. Hallelujah. When we do these things, the love of our community grows stronger and stronger, and together we become stronger. The highlight of my week is Shabbat and the preparations and studying I do to equip myself to bring the word to you, His people. And I love it. I love it when Friday afternoon comes along. And I know Shabbat is on the horizon. I can get out off my desk and be done. It's just, it's an amazing, wonderful feeling. Praise you, Lord. Back into James, verse 10, chapter 5, verse 10. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers and sisters, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. You want to see somebody who had a lot to endure, who had to be patient for a time of suffering? Look at the prophets. I know you know the troubles of the prophets. If you don't, go to any of the books of the Tanakh, the Old Testament, and read about them. I'm sure you'll see the tests and trials that we face daily here are significantly less. And we have the Ruach HaKodesh to help us. Amen. Verse 11 says, "Behold, we consider blessed those who showed endurance. You have heard of the endurance of Job. And you have seen the outcome of Adonai, that Adonai is full of compassion and mercy." All of the prophets, when you look at their ends, you know one thing, they were blessed by the Lord for having endured. Verse 12 says, "But above all, my dear brothers and sisters, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under judgment." It's interesting he puts this here because just looking at it, it seems out of place. Like, what's he talking about? How do you go from all these things to that? Well, he's telling his people to be the disciples that the Lord has called them to be. To not forget, let's see, what does it say in verse 9? Says, don't grumble against one another so you won't be judged. In other words, walk in love with one another. And in verse 7, be patient until the coming of the Lord. He's telling them to do all these spiritual disciplines that would be pleasing to the Lord. So if someone, what's he saying here? If you're saying, yes, I'm doing these spiritual disciplines to be pleasing to the Lord, well, let your yes be yes. And if you're not, then don't say you're doing it. If you're not. If you say you're doing it, do it. If you're not, if you're saying you're not going to do it, don't do it. But you got to decide. Is your yes yes? Or does your yes really mean no? No, let your yes be yes and your no mean no. Why? Because guess what I said earlier? Daddy's standing at the door listening and seeing everything so that you may not fall under judgment. Lastly, he's encouraging his people to keep their word. He talks about taking an oath, taking a vow, and he's telling them don't do it. Basically, unless you are able to do it and you are sincere about actually doing it. If you can't keep your word, do whatever you can do to let the person know why you can't keep the word that you've given them. Don't make an oath that you don't intend to keep or can't keep. Let your word be your bond. Amen?
Amen.
And it's interesting because in the tough times that we live in, it's harder to keep your word. It's more costly to keep your word. It may cost you more to keep your word than you thought, than you had planned. It may be painful to keep your word. Oftentimes it is. You know, there's a saying, it's not biblical, but it's could have been. You know, love always does something. You know, you take on a wife, you know, what do? You take care of her, right? Yeah. You do things to work that are painful, that you say, you know what, I can, my boss right now, I could just quit and walk out of here. And you say, no, I can't. I've taken on a wife and I've got a family. People in the congregation are depending on me, my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, whoever. This is going to be painful, but I've given my word, maybe not verbally, but, you know, if you're part of a family, then you've given your word to be a blessing and a help, you know. Regardless if those words were ever uttered out of your mouth, there's an expectation of you living up to your word. Amen? Make sense? He's just saying do it. That's it. At the end of the day, we have, and I'm closing with this, at the end of the day, we have our integrity on the line, which is largely based on our relationship with Adonai. And we are called to be holy examples unto him. When he was writing this book to the dispersed Jews who were out, here they are, they find themselves, they were in Israel, in Jerusalem, living, prospering, coming together, congregating together, fellowshipping together. Now they're dispersed. The temple's been sacked and some have died and they're just all over the place. And here you have James and he's part of the Jerusalem council and they're working all these things to regain some type of order, maintain the order they have, move forward in whatever state they're in. But guess what has already happened before this? Yeshua sent the disciples out to the Gentiles. So now you have all these believers who are out there, and guess what? They need to be examples not only to the Jews who don't believe, haven't received Messiah, but also to the Gentile world that they've been called to be a witness to. That's a whole lot going on right here this time. Praise you, Lord. So he's seeing the weight of their decisions, what it would have, the ramifications on generations to come. And he's in a position right from Israel where he's still able to write and get these letters out and this doctrine out to them. Years later, it was different. They were gone. There was no new doctrine coming out, and things have ended up where we are today. And lastly, I have one here, isn't it wonderful that we don't have to go through these things alone? We have one another, and most importantly, we have Adonai. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the word that we have heard, Lord. We thank you for touching us and helping us. Lord, when we go through our week, we start strong, remembering our time together and our fellowship together. And as the week goes on, we can become weary, Father. So I pray that your people would be strengthened and encouraged, and that you would bring to mind the things that you're talking to us all about right now. You would bring those things to mind as we're doing our daily routine during the week until we meet again on Shabbat. So we thank you and praise you. We just seal this in the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach, and we thank you, Lord, for your word says, Father, that your word, when it's sent, it doesn't return void. It doesn't return without accomplishing what you've sent it out to accomplish, Lord. So whatever you've sent this out to accomplish in your people here and those who are listening online, we just say that it gets accomplished for your kingdom's sake, for your glory. In the mighty name of the Prince of Peace, Yeshua HaMashiach, amen and amen.